gracious and loving God, we praise your name. We give thanks for your word. We give thanks for your spirit. We ask that your spirit would inform our minds and our souls and the meaning of this and how we can use it each day to spread the word of Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. Last Sunday, I got here and Dean ran up to me and said, "You haven't given me a title." And I said, "No, I haven't. I'm not sure I want to preach on this gospel lesson." And he says, "Too late. I've already printed them." And he said, "And the next week's is already printed too. So if you," and I said, "Well, just don't put a title down because I don't know what the title would be." And I tell you the truth, I did not want to preach on this gospel lesson. I have never preached on it before. As I read it from a point of view of, oh my God, what do we do with this? What do we do with this gospel lesson that talks about daughters against mothers, and sons against fathers, and fathers against sons, and everybody against everybody within a household? We talk about the fullness of the household, but, you know, husbands and wives. We talked about last week, love. Loving Christ, loving our spouse, loving our family, all this. We talk about it all the time. But here Jesus takes a different format and says, they're going to hate you. And I thought, what's going on here? What's really going on? And then I got to reading Jeremiah, and I thought, there's nothing new here. Same thing was happening to Jeremiah. If he spoke the word of the Lord, what the Lord told him to say, people were looking to kill him, looking to throw him in jail, looking to stone him. The Jeremiah passage is really kind of insightful if you think about it, because that's part of what we're hearing here. And I think what Jesus is saying is, in your household, or in yourselves, if you accept me and speak my words, someone may not agree. And certainly within Jewish households, which Matthew's community was close to Jerusalem, certainly within people coming to Christianity there, we're hearing from their sons, and their daughters, their grandsons, the people who are staunch Jews saying, what's going on with you? If you do this, you are condemned. If you do this, you should be stoned. If you're going to speak of Christ and you know, you can just imagine all that anger that was there. It's the same anger that was towards Jesus Christ himself from the temple. It's the anger and hate that went on that said, we have to get rid of this because it is a teaching which could destroy our teaching. And if we are the people of God, if we are the people of God who he brought out of the wilderness, and if we are the people of God who he's brought back to the temple, sent us to Babylon, do all this stuff, look at the history of God and people. And now suddenly we have Jesus in community, Jesus in culture, and he's saying to everybody, hey, before you were condemned, now you can be saved. Before you took animals and you bloodied them and put them on the altar and offered them up to God, now I'm here as an offering for your sins. You don't have to do that anymore. Certainly God looked at it. Certainly, but we also know God said, I'm not interested in animals, I'm really interested in your hearts. And here's Jesus saying, I'm here and I got and I'm dying for your sins. And in doing so, you have to understand that you give up the peace that you had before by just following along with everybody else. You give up the peace that you had before because you could get a job because you were Jewish. And I'm saying that to you that not only you, but also the whole world can come to me. But realize that there is not going to be peace. You are going to be persecuted. And it might be your son, your daughter. It might be a daughter who becomes Christian and her mother does not. You think about all the things in a family that are there. And it's out and out anger, and it creates hate. What are you doing to the family? What are you doing to the Jewish community? What are you doing to yourself? And consequently, we see the Christians moving away from that family into a new family, into a new community, meeting sometimes quietly, but preaching boldly. And the one commentator that I found that really wanted to touch this scripture said, you have to remember that Matthew's community was close to Jerusalem. And because they were being persecuted so much by the Jews of Jerusalem, and so many Jews were coming over to it, that they picked up and they moved further away so that they could be more peaceful, if you will. And this comes down to Jesus last week when he said, if they won't accept you, get the dust off your feet and move on. And in coming further away, they could preach and they could teach. And they could still go, it wasn't so far that they couldn't preach and teach to their brothers and their sisters. But also they could preach to the Gentiles. And consequently it grows again. So, what do we do with this? How does that affect us now? First of all, I'd like to say, I can't tell you how many times that this scripture has been thrown in my face. Oh, who wants to be a Christian? Look, your mother, your father, you got to leave all them behind, and you're not going to have peace. What do you mean? You mean it's better to be a Christian, or that there's something there for me? And it's been thrown out there in debates over and over again. Well, read the scripture. Read the whole scripture. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about evangelism, certainly. He's talking about reaching out to others, certainly. But he's also talking about taking the bull by the horns and being responsible for your own self. And accepting Jesus Christ in your heart is a personal, it's a very personal action. And accepting Jesus Christ and walking out and putting yourself out there for people to ridicule, for people to throw stones at, I hope not real ones, for people to see that there's a difference between life and the life. The life that's going to die and the life that's going to live. It's personal. It's very personal. And in doing so, we need to begin to take baby steps, I think. For so long, the church was active in saying these things are right, these things are wrong, based on scripture. Up until the 50s anyway, probably in the beginning of the 60s, the church had power. And then the church started giving up its power. And started hearing, well, they have a right. Well, yeah, they have a right to do what they wanted. We have a right to worship. And we held on to that right. And now came to a point, and I think the pendulum's going to come back now, I hope, to where we have rights too. What could be worse than to say to us, your child may not pray in schools, but this child can pray 5 times to another God? What could be worse than to go to work and say, you may not have a Bible on your desk? I can tell you from my point of view, in my work for the last 30 years, we went from being able to wear these Christian ties, I couldn't wear them anymore. Nurses, if they had a cross on their arm or somewhere on their shoulder, they had to cover it up because that was considered to be moving people towards Christianity and not giving them the space. To the point that even when we would have a memorial service, we couldn't mention God. We couldn't mention Jesus Christ. We couldn't mention salvation. We did it surreptitiously. We did it sometimes just because it's normal for a preacher to do that. But afterwards, you heard about it. What could be worse than to say, Christmas does not have Christ in it? And Easter's about a button. And the 4th of July is about fireworks. And God can't enter any of those things. We're there. We are under the same persecution that Jeremiah was. And it hurts. It makes you want to cry. I have a daughter who's not Christian. And she was raised to be Christian. And she says, Dad, give me all this stuff. I know what it is, but I have to tell you, I don't believe it. Well, and she says, and if you're going to preach to my son, you may not miss it. And it's happening to a lot of people. It's happened to a lot of people. And what we try to do is regain control. Now notice as she gets older, she's for more acceptance of what I've got to say. But what happens, it hurts. You say, what did I do wrong, Lord? I didn't do anything wrong. It's an individual choice. And she made her choice. And she was making her choice for my grandson, too. And she was forcing me to make a choice as to how I was going to continue with that. Thank goodness, I think we made the right choices. Love him to death. Today's his birthday, by the way. It's his birthday, and he's getting a fishing pole from it. But I'm not there to fish. But you know, think about how I get angry when I hear these things from people. Instead, I need to say, you know what? You're right. But it all comes down to one thing. It was Tony Alonzo standing in JCPenney Company talking to Hutch Hubby in his office as he was looking in the Bible. I said, what, are you some kind of Bible thumper? And he said, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I'm standing there, and he said, I said, well, I quit going to church because like, the people were just all whatever you want to say. And he said, Tony, I don't go to church for the people. I go to church for me. Beginning of conversion. Seed planted. God, the change that took place. But it's an individual decision. And I can say to whoever it is, it's your decision. But can you hear what I've got to say about love? I know you're hurting. Can I tell you what difference it would make to have God on your side? I said, it's there. All you got to do is say, I'm here, Lord. Thanks. This is a scripture that ought to be preached a lot. Shouldn't be avoided by preachers. Certainly shouldn't be avoided by me. But I told Dean was sometimes scriptures come up that I need to hear. And I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But I'll preach it. Thank God. But because it has changed to some extent. Actually, it has emboldened me. And it has made me feel a lot better about the world. And a lot better about what my job is. I hope it makes you feel a lot better about your job. I hope that as you look at the world, you look at it a little differently. Maybe through a little more tinted glass. And do as Jeremiah said. Shout. Would you pray with me? Oh, gracious and loving God, we give thanks for your word. We give thanks that you have been with us all the way along. And we know that you are with us, and that if we just follow you, follow your son Jesus Christ, that everything will be right. Lord, we just pray that you give us strength, that you give us courage, that you help us to continue to have the power to speak your word. We pray this in Jesus' name.